Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for all of us who've received him into our life, this is a monumental occasion. This is a moment where we celebrate not only his death, but his resurrection. And this is where we come into play. Because when he rose, something took place within us. As once we receive him, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Christ, it comes and lives inside of us. Now, what that means is we're completely different now once we receive the Spirit of God. And now what we do now, we learn more about who we are and why God has called us. Amen? We're going to do some reading this morning. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. For those of you all who will be taking notes, please take notes because I like to read and I may do a little bit of jumping. So, and it reads, be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the entire world. And after you have suffered a little while, I want you guys actually to kind of probably help me speak this morning. The God of all grace called us into his eternal by Christ Jesus. It says, will himself, say this word with me, say restore. Restore. Say it with me, say restore. Restore. Confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. The word we want to kind of lean into this morning is the word restore. And for some of us who've never encountered Jesus, I want to present this side of him today. The Jesus that restores. So, what we were just reading, we're reading from an account from one of the disciples that became an apostle. His name was Peter. Now, Peter wrote this particular letter, and if we just think about what we just read, Peter made a very, very bold statement. He said that there's an enemy, an adversary that's looking towards us to see whoever he can catch. And he says that what we must do is we must be sober-minded. I cannot be too high, I cannot be too low, but I have to be even in my thinking, in my heart. I cannot be all over the place. He says, be sober-minded because you have an adversary that's looking. And he says that the God of all grace who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, he says that after you've suffered a while, he will restore us. But he says something about suffering that takes place. What would make Peter make that type of statement? The reason being because he suffered before. Yeah. Like many of us, we've had seasons. We might even be in a season right now where we're suffering, where we're waiting for the Lord to give us direction or guidance, or we're waiting for the Lord to touch a family member or to open a door financially. We're waiting for the next step in our life. Yeah. But we're waiting for a while. And sometimes when we're waiting, we can sometimes get restless. Now, Peter is not just speaking from theory. He's not speaking from something that he heard, but he's speaking because he lived this thing. And so my question becomes this morning, what would make him make this bold statement? And when we begin to think about suffering, there's biblical suffering, and then there's suffering that we do on our own, we get ourselves into. Unfortunately, all of us, if you live long enough, if you haven't lived long enough, you'll do your own share of suffering because of your own deeds, because of your own decisions, because of your own impulses and appetites and desires. We'll feel like we're doing the right thing in that moment, but honestly, we didn't even consult with the Lord. And when we do that, we run the risk of running our own race instead of the race he set before us. Biblical suffering is an experience where there's adversity, there's hardship, and even pain for the purpose, watch this, of growth. That's why it's coming. It's for the purpose of growth. Even Jesus had to experience this in his earthly life. If we were to read in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says, although he was a son, referring to Jesus, he learned through obedience and suffering, referring to Jesus, our Savior. So if he, in his earthly life, had to learn through suffering, guess what that says for us? We're going to have some seasons where hardships will come. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If he's allowing it to come, he's going to not only give us the wisdom, he's not just going to give us a prescription. He got the nerve that wants to come and grab your hand and walk with you through it, if you would let him. And this is where in the Bible talks about the beautiful Holy Spirit once we receive him. The Bible in Galatians chapter 5 talks about all the attributes or fruit of the Spirit. There are about 9. There's like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But the one we oftentimes run over is long-suffering. Because nobody likes to suffer. I love this gospel that I heard when I first gave my life to the Lord. I was a little ignorant, honestly. Where I thought that once I gave my life to the Lord, that everything was going to be fine for the rest of my days. That everything that was wrong was immediately going to be right. Everything that was broken was going to be healed. And I thought that I was going to walk through life on flowers and rose petals. I could eat what I want, do what I want. No, that's not life by no means. But the fruit of long suffering is needed because you're going to need to know how to stand even in adverse situations. We all need it. That's why it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because if not, you'll try to do it in your own strength, your own mind. And what will happen is Eddie will crumble every single time. So when we read the scriptures, the Bible, and we get a chance to like meditate on the life of Jesus, he's a perfect example of how we are to live in this world by bringing hope and restoration, especially in hopeless and dead situations. Amen? Yeah. This is what he calls us all to. As we live and journey with the Lord, there will be tests. There will be hardships. That's prescribed to each and every one of us. The Bible says that it rains on the just as well as the what? We are Word Church now. Amen? So we know how it, so there are things that we've done and gotten our own way, but then there's sometimes you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything at all. But there was a test prescribed to you in a certain season for the purpose of growth. And growing sometimes does not feel good. It doesn't, it really, really doesn't. And the way you know it does, you know it's the Lord doing it, is because you're waiting for him to give you an answer. You're waiting for him to open the door, and it seems like it's just not opening. How many of us ever been there or are there currently? We're waiting for the Lord to give us the signal, to give us next step, but we're waiting. And but in that moment, he's actually building something inside of us. What I want to say to us this morning is it's very possible. The reason why he has not given you the instructions, why it has not healed, why it has not taken place at this moment, is because he allowed it. Let that sit for a second. The Lord allowed it. God is not picking on you this morning. He's not. He's not cruel. But he knows exactly what's inside of each and every one of us and what it takes to get what he put inside of us out. And so sometimes it's the crushing that we have to go through. It's those difficult seasons. Even in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, I believe it says that it pleased the Father. Listen to this. It pleased the Father to crush or bruise the Son. Why? Because of the offspring that will come through his life. except the seed goes down and dies, it will no longer bring life. But once it goes down, it will bring forth much life. The storms, the difficult seasons that come is not to drown us. Is it possible that the Lord knows there's something inside you he's trying to pull to the forefront? But wait a second. Hey, preacher man, I know, but it hurts. I've been waiting for years. I've been waiting for months. I've been waiting for so long. What is he trying to pull? Is it possible he's trying to establish something inside you that's going to break something generationally? Is it possible? Is it possible he sees something that you've never seen? Because you're just brand new into this brand new life. And the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creation that has never existed before. So you don't know you. I don't know me. But he's trying to reveal who I really am through these difficult seasons. And so I have to endure. And he says, you're not going by yourself. I'm coming because I'm giving you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. This is why you have to have the Holy Spirit. You can't do this journey without him. You can't walk life without him. He's the one that will give comfort. He's the one who will speak. He's the one that will encourage. He's the one that will uplift. When Jesus went to the cross, he was talking to his disciples, and he says that if I don't go, another won't come. That word another in the Greek is called alloy. Say alloy. Meaning the same as me. He says, if I don't go, lay my life down, the one that's just like me won't come. And he's going to do something better. He's going to come and live inside of you. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of us when we receive him. Say, I need him. We all need the Holy Spirit to live this life. And if you don't have him, ask him to come. He'll come even right now, even as we're speaking right now. He'll come to you even at your heart. Amen? Amen? Each one of us in this room that has says yes to Jesus has agreed to this call to live out hope and invite the Lord into dark places. He calls us to go to hospitals, to jails, to rehab centers, to schools, to Pastor Rich's favorite place, to Kroger. He calls us to go to other countries, even our own families. He's calling us to go to those places. Now, but what happens when you are called, which all of us are in this room is? Now, let's back up just a second. Oftentimes when we think of being called, we think you're called to be on a stage, and that's not the case. When you're called by the Lord to do what he told you to do. And that looks so different for each and every one of us. He may be calling some of us to music, some of us to writing, some of us to business. He may be calling us to all these different places. But whatever venue you are called to go into, even just parenthood, even in all these places, when you get there, just reveal Jesus. Just share the gospel. Just love on people. Just show the world that there's someone that loves you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? But he calls us to each one of these different, diverse places. But what happens? While you're called, a whirlwind hits your house. Despair, thick, you can barely see. You ever been in a dark place where you don't know what's happening? You know, sometimes if we were to cut the lights off right now, if the lights just went off right now, some of us would feel some like type of like anxiousness will kind of hit the room because we don't know what's happening. Sometimes when you're in a dark season, it's almost like anxiety will begin to rise because you know what's happening. Is something coming to get me? Is the floor happening? Is something coming through the ceiling? Why is the lights out? And it's in those dark seasons where hysteria can break out, where you're just running all over the place and you don't know what to do. If you are in that space this morning, slow down. Wait for his voice. He'll speak. He'll speak even in those dark seasons. Even in those dark spaces, he'll speak. just like he's speaking right now. Yeah. Even as we're sitting right now, the Lord is doing something. In each and every one of our hearts, he's pricking us, reminding us, you know what? I did call you to that. I did assign this to you. But along the way, why aren't we doing what he told us to do? It's because of hardship. Sometimes because of, in some cases, I was believing God. And in the midst of believing God, adversity came and I stopped believing him, if I be honest. It made me not want to believe or trust him. And it's very, very real. It happens often. Yeah. That when we're trying to believe God, adversity comes and it tries to knock us off our journey and path of where he wants us to go. For each one of us, we have to beware of this word called cynicism. The word cynicism is when I have a perspective that's only negative, where when I set my eyes on something or I try to believe something, it's hard to believe because I just believe the worst. And what happens is, for a believer, we are believers. We're called to believe. Yes. But if I believe, it's the equivalent of taking like a full bucket of termites and putting it in a wooden house. You won't see it all break down in one day, but over time, yeah, it'll start to erode. Yeah. When unbelief gets set inside of the heart of an unbeliever, it may not happen all at one time, but over time, yeah, it's an erosion. You used to believe him to be a healer, but you stopped praying for the Lord to heal. You used to believe that he can save that loved one, but you just say, well, that's just how they is. Woe unto us. Woe unto us. We've walked with the Lord for years, but because he didn't meet the need when we needed him to meet the need, that we just let go. And now we're unbelieving believers. Yeah. I used to be so loud in proclaiming the goodness of God, but I don't even testify because I'm actually embarrassed. Wow. I'm embarrassed because there was something I wanted him to come through on and he didn't come through on. And now I don't even talk about him as much because my faith has eroded. Now listen to this. In the natural world, there's an industry called restoration. This is a $210 billion industry. Profit margins, this is the business side of me, you guys. It's through the roof, 50%. If society can see the benefit of restoration, why wouldn't it be unwise for the Lord to understand the benefits of restoration? Sometimes it's not what has happened to us. It's about how he's going to restore us because of what happened. And it's no, he's not trying to pick on you. Yes, it happened. Those feelings are real. But he's saying, let me restore you today. If we go look at Peter and what we read earlier, Peter was not just writing this letter or preaching this word from the perspective of it sounded good. He actually experienced this. If we were to go back into Peter's life, we would see that before he had this encounter with Jesus. Jesus, this amazing man that he is, was a master teacher. He would go places and teach, and crowds would just swallow him up trying to get to him. One day he's teaching by the lake. This lake is called Gennesaret. He's over there teaching and preaching, and the people will begin to come so much in droves that he's like, wait a second, you guys are going to swallow me up. Let me get on a boat. He gets on this boat, and this boat just so happens to be Peter and his brother named Andrew. He's on the boat, and he begins to preach. And then after he gets done preaching, he turns to Peter and his brother, and he says, I want you to cast your net. And they look to Jesus. They're like, we've been trying to catch fish all day. They're fishermen by trade. And they're like, we don't have anything. In that very moment, he says, go out a little further. Jesus gives them some divine instructions. He says, go out a little further. I know it's nothing happening right here, but you're not deep enough. You're still in the shallow spot. He says, I'm telling you to go just a little bit deeper. It's not even about, he says, you have somebody else in the boat with you. Go out a little deeper. And he casts his net. And it says they pulled up so much fish that the net began to burst. Remember this word, cast. Remember this word, cast. After this took place, Peter and his brother, they began to follow Jesus. And over the next 3 years, Peter had this discipleship, this mentorship, where he's walking with Jesus. Now, over the course of this time, he's seeing some of the most amazing things a person could ever see. Peter, he walked on water. He watched Jesus pray and people healed. He watched Jesus raise people from the dead. He watched Jesus actually transform on the mountain of transformation into something otherworldly. Peter saw all these things. And you would think from the natural eye that because I've seen God do all these things, that would justify my relationship with him. Just because you've seen him do amazing things, it does not replace you knowing him.
Yes.
We could quote scriptures galore. We can do all these things that sound so Christianese. But if you don't know him, we're missing out on so many amazing things. The Bible says that there's going to come a time. He says you're going to come before him. And he's going to say that, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? He said, didn't I do all these things that sound so good? And the Bible says he's going to say, depart from me. Not because you didn't do all those things, but because I never knew you. You were actually doing these things out of a broken place. The Bible says iniquity. If it was all about singing, if it was all about preaching, many of us would be fine. But that's surface level. The Lord says, I want to know you in a more intimate way.
Yeah.
And so Peter, after 3 years, some of us have been walking with the Lord for 20 years, 30 years. And we feel justified and think that our relationship is in a healthy place. And it could be, but it's not because of what you've done.
Yeah.
But it's because of who he is in your life.
Yeah.
Check this out, you guys. Jesus begins to have this very intimate conversation with his disciples, and also with Peter. He asks him this question. He says, "There's words going around about who I am in the region. What are they saying about me?" He's asking his disciples, and Peter's in the audience, and he's telling them that they're saying that you're like the prophet Elijah. You're like John the Baptist. All these amazing men. He asks them this next question that each one of us in our life is going to have an answer for. We heard what people say that I am, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in boldness, he says that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven has unlocked this revelation to you. And Jesus, later on in another intimate moment, he begins to tell his disciples about what we celebrated last week. He says that they're going to come and get me. I'm going to go to prison. And I'm going to be charged for things that had nothing to do with me. And Peter, in his zeal, because he's like any person that has a good friend or someone that they love. Like, you're not about to take them. You got to go through me.
Yeah.
And it sounded good in the moment. But Jesus said to him, you have no idea what you're saying.
Wow.
This must happen. And Peter, in boldness, in zeal, like all often of us, when we're so excited to do things for Jesus, he's like, no, I'm not going to let them take you. And Jesus, in his wisdom, just looks at Peter. He's like, I know you. You think because you've seen all these things and you've been with me that you know me, but there's still more. Your heart actually isn't converted yet.
That's beautiful.
We come every Sunday. We sing. We leave. And it does not equate to a conformed or converted heart.
Yes.
And the Lord is saying to us this morning, is your heart converted? Well, how do we know? Jesus tells him, Peter, when this is all happening to me, there's going to be a rooster that's going to crow, and you're going to deny me 3 times. He says, but don't worry about it. I'm praying for you. Actually, if we were to go over, let's go, we jumped over a little bit, you guys. If we were to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 33, this conversation Jesus is having with Peter, he tells him something that is extremely valuable. Because earlier we talked about how hardships come. And sometimes it's seasonal when it's happening. He says to Peter that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. In another translation, it says that permission for Satan has just been granted to sift you, Peter. He says, but I pray for you that your faith will not fail you. It's so good for each and every one of us to have a Savior that prays for us. Yeah. And he tells them, actually, we have it pulled up. It says, Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has obtained permission to come and sift you like wheat and test your faith. But I pray for you, Peter, that you stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, that after you've turned your back to me and have been restored to make it your life mission to strengthen your faith in your brothers and sisters. He tells him that, yes, you have all this zeal. Yes, you've been following me. Yes, you've been walking with me. But there's a test coming. And I'm giving you the answers to the test, Peter. I'm trying to tell you there's something coming. But I'm telling you, don't let go. Don't be swallowed up by fear. He knows how dearly Peter thinks of Jesus. Think about this. He's telling Peter, you're about to watch your best friend be brutally murdered for something he had nothing to do. That's devastating. Have a loved one that you care about. You're like, he didn't do nothing to nobody, and he got hit by a car and died. You have a loved one that got fired from a job that was lied on. You're like, that's not fair. That hurts. God, where were you? That's some of us in this room charging God unjustly. It was not him. It was not him. Listen to me. It was not him. He loves too hard. He loves too much. It was not him. I lost it, man. That relationship crumbled. It wasn't him. And right now, the Lord is trying to help us to see who he really is. Jesus tells Peter that after this adversity comes, you're going to be restored. So my question then becomes, so when does Peter get restored? If we were to, after Jesus lays his life down, he rises up in 3 days just like he said he would. And after he did that, he shows himself to his disciples. Now let's look at what's going on with Peter. Peter, while he saw Jesus walking after he resurrected, I imagine, this is my thinking, you guys, that he still feels a little bad about what took place, about him abandoning his best friend and stop believing after he said, I was going to raise in 3 days. I can imagine that his heart is broken. He's almost a little embarrassed. And if we were to go look at John chapter 21, the Bible says that Peter went back to go do what he used to do. He went to go fish. He goes back to the boat. And as he goes back to the boat, The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, the disciple Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. So they're on the boat like they were before, fishing. He said, wait a second, there's the Lord out there. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his garment. It makes me think if he lifted up his garment, because you know it's when you're about to really run, you got to get yourself together. He jumps down, and it says that he jumps down and he threw himself to the sea, and he runs to Jesus. He runs to him. And in that moment, Jesus has a conversation with Peter. And this is where the restoration takes place. Guess what they're doing? They're eating fish. They're eating. And he's having this conversation. And he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I do. You know I do. He says, well, feed my sheep. He asks him again, do you love me? He says, you know I do, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. He asks him one more time. I'm imagining Peter like, why are you asking me this again? He says, Lord, you know I do. Oftentimes, the Lord in his wisdom, he's fixing things that we broke in accident. For every time he denied him, he was patching it up with love. For everyone, you denied me 3 times. I'm going to make sure you know that I know that you love me. It was just a season of weakness. I'm here to bring restoration. Each and every one of us, when we have a moment in time where we feel weakness, we need to be restored. He's not throwing us away. That call he's called us into, he's not throwing us away. He's called us with a holy calling. And he's not just calling us. He's saying, I'm going to walk with you through it. Now, for us as believers, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, it says that if you find your brother or sister caught in a fault, or if they're going through difficulties, restore them with the spirit of gentleness. People know when they've made mistakes. It's not a time to beat them up, but it says to restore them with gentleness. If we keep reading, it says, therefore, in verse number 4, verse number 2, it says, therefore, fulfilling the law of Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, there's something that begins to work inside of us.
Yeah.
As believers, it's called the law of Christ, where we want to go help pick things off of people that was once carrying on
yes.
them. That's called the law of Christ working inside of us. I want to share a testimony. And I think, Pastor Rich, you're going to really appreciate this. It wasn't Kroger, but it was at Walmart. I was, this had to be over 10 years ago. I was going to Walmart, and there was a gentleman who I hadn't seen in some time. We went to the same fellowship together. And I hadn't seen him in some time. And as we make our way there, I'm not seeing him. I was like, hey, man, what's up? How you been? And he's actually trying to, like, duck me. And I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening in the situation by no means. I just knew I hadn't seen him in a while. I was like, man, I miss you. What's going on? How you feeling? And he's like, man, just a lot been happening. I was like, man, so what's, like, he's like, I just feel so far away from God. And I was like, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I don't want to be in your business. I don't want any of that stuff. But have you been praying? He said, man, I haven't prayed in a long time. I was like, man, guess what? Let's pray together right now in the middle of this parking lot. He's like, man, right here in the parking lot? I said, yes, right here in the parking lot. I snatched his hand. The Bible tells us to sometimes you got to go snatch people up. Don't be going shaking people's face. But I grab his hand. I was like, man, let's pray. And I said, Father, you see my brother. You see the weight. You see what's happening. Remind him of your goodness. Yes. And we begin to pray. And I knew my brother had the gift of tongues. And he's like, man, I haven't even prayed in my gift in a long time. I said, let's stir up that gift, even in this parking lot. In the parking lot? I said, yeah, we're going to stir it up right here in the parking lot. I think I'm over being ashamed of the gospel. I think we should all be unashamed of the gospel. Let's begin to stir it up, even right here. My brother began to cry out to the Lord. He's like, I haven't done that in a long time. And I want to just fast forward to today. My brother is not only, he's not walking with the Lord, he's running with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Him and his family, he goes and he ministers in his own, very own way in different places because of the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. This is all about how he wants to bring restoration.
Yeah.
And he'll come and meet you in the parking lot if you let him.
Yeah.
But for some of us, he'll use an old store. An old Kroger. But what the Lord is trying to do for us today is to tell us to get out of the boat. And come and have that conversation with him for restoration. He's saying that I've called you, and some of us have laid that call to the side because we've made mistakes. Some of us have gotten embarrassed because we felt like the Lord didn't come through when we wanted him to. But what the Lord is saying today is I'm not paying attention to any of that, but just come. Make your way to the altar. Make your way so that I can have this conversation and remind you of who I called you to be, of what I called you to become. If we were to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, listen to what Peter said. Remember I told you to remember that word cast? The Bible says that casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for us. That sounds like fisherman talk. He says, cast your cares. This morning, there's an invitation. The prayer team is making their way up. I want to invite us to a moment of restoration. There's been things the Lord has told each and every one of us that sometimes we've put it to the side, or we're not running as hard as we used to. Because of church hurt, or I want to love again, but because my heart was so broken because of how devastating the relationship was, I don't even want to love again. The Lord says, come, let me talk to you. I want you to love again. I want you to believe again. You held the hand of a loved one that died, and you prayed as hard as you can, and you feel like the Lord didn't come through. Come down and let him come have a conversation with you for restoration. Let him tell you that was not me. There's family members that were abused, taken advantage of. And you're like, God, if you were there, why didn't you save them? They were a kid. I was a kid. And you let them touch me. The Lord is saying, that was not me. Come here. Let me hug you. It was not me. I didn't do it. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. But let me love you. Let me show you how I can take this broken space. Let me pour something on it. Let me just hug you. You haven't said nothing to nobody because you were embarrassed. You didn't do it. You didn't ask that. The Lord says, let me come and love on you. Let me come. Let me come and restore you. Let me breathe on you. You've been walking dead for too long. He says, I have the living life, the pneuma, the breath, the spirit of God. Let me resuscitate you so you can begin to live. Let's all stand. The prayer team is here. The Lord's been here. He's waiting for us. Please, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is like foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, It's the power of God. And he says that I will use the wisdom of this world and turn it upside down. Some of us have become so sophisticated that God could be tugging on you right now and you're overthinking it. Come as a kid right now so he can heal you. Come as a kid right now so he can touch us and bring the healing and the answers that we need. Father, we welcome you. We thank you for this invitation this morning that you would bring restoration to broken spaces. Father, I thank you for your manifested healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those who've been felt broken and abandoned, the Lord, that you begin to even bring mended hearts together even now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that was done in secret that's been eating at my little sisters. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for Holy Spirit bringing healing even now. Things that was not said because you were afraid to say something because it was a family member. Father, I thank you for bringing healing even now in Jesus' name. For you love too much to leave us here wrestling and walking through life, trying to put on a face like it's okay, but inside is hurting. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Ah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for full healing right now. I want to bless my little sister right now. Father, I thank you for full healing in Jesus' name. Ah, life. Life in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your healing virtue, for you are the one that sets free the captives, and you deliver. I thank you, Father, for your sweet presence now, for you bring healing in Jesus' name. For the wonder-working power, the love of God that heals and takes away every pain, I want to invite those who pray to begin to pray right now. The Lord's doing something. Father, we thank you for healing taking place right now. In Jesus' name. Healing right now in Jesus' name. Ah, believers, I need you right now. We have to pray. We have to pray. In the name of Jesus, there's healing taking place. There's going to be conversations this upcoming week. A vulnerability, and it needs to land on the correct ears. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you for confidence right now. Lord Jesus, you're so loving that you would not allow us to drown in despair. He says, I'm pulling you up. I'm pulling you up, my daughter. I'm pulling you up, my son. You're not going to go through this alone. He says, I'll come and get you if you allow me. As the prayer team is making their way up, please don't just stand. Allow the Lord to come and pour oil on those spaces. Father, we thank you for this word today, this moment, this encounter. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.